Today's episode is brought to you by Taft Law and its Franchise Advance Program, a one-of-a-kind program developed by your host, Josh Brown, to help entrepreneurs assess, convert, and grow your business the right way through sound franchise structures. To learn more, go to taftlaw.com and type Franchise Advance Program in the search bar.
If you think like, act like, or are trying to grow like a franchise, then the Franchise Euphoria podcast is for you. Hello and welcome, everybody. Josh Brown here, and I created this podcast for one main goal: to help people who are trying to grow their business through franchising or franchise-like structures to do it the right way. I've been practicing law now as a franchise lawyer for many, many years, and I've seen it done the right way and the wrong way. And this podcast is not filled with a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo. Rather, I talk with real people, people who have been there, have done it, are doing it right now. And I also dive deep into specific topics related to franchising. So if this is of interest to you, you are at the right place. Enjoy.
Hello, welcome back to Franchise Euphoria. Today, I am joined by Jesse Kozlov and Brett Reynolds from the Dog Stop franchise system. Jesse founded the Dog Stop system in 2009, and Brett is the director of dog care and training. Excited, fellas, to learn about the system. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having us, Josh.
Thanks so much, Josh. Excited to be here.
Yeah, great. Look, Jesse, let's kick this off with you. You founded this franchise system. Talk a little bit about your background and what led you to this.
Sure. So, grew up with dogs in my home as a child and went off to college and got the first dog of my own and quickly realized that, my parents were right. I wasn't actually taking care of our childhood dogs. They were. And I was forced to, become exposed to all of the different types of dog care that were available. I had a pretty high energy dog who was a rescue and I was always looking for daycare and boarding, and the dog required grooming and certainly a lot of obedience training. And I started learning a little bit more about dog nutrition and was kind of trying to seek out different foods and treats that weren't the common ones you'd find at a supermarket. I really had a hard time finding service providers for all of those different services that met my needs as a dog dad and consumer. And as I started talking to friends and family, I was working in a lot of different rescue organizations and volunteering, and everybody kind of echoed the same concerns. So kept doing my thing in college and first couple jobs out of college traveling, and again, exposed to even more businesses, nationwide of daycare, boarding, grooming, et cetera. And when I finally came back to Pittsburgh in 2007, kind of noticed that there wasn't anything in the Pittsburgh market that, again, worked for me and my dog needs, and decided to test out some ideas and theories and went and worked at a couple places. And in 2009, it finally came together at the first Dog Stop location. I was determined to, create a better version of dog care. I wanted to improve upon the lack of transparency in the industry, the pretty poor customer service, and combine all the services under one roof so that, I didn't have to go find four, five, six different businesses to satisfy all my needs. Those core principles still remain the same at the Dog Stop today: 100% transparency, best customer service in class, all the services under one roof. The business has certainly improved and evolved tremendously since those early days. And, Brett, who's here with us, is responsible for the majority of those improvements and upgrades when it comes to the dog care side of things. But, it's just it's an awesome business to be part of, in great demand in pretty much every community that we serve. And, it's obviously financially makes a lot of sense, but, it's the first time a lot of our franchisees have actually gotten to do something that they actually enjoy and that they love. And, dogs are a passion. So it's great to combine work and a passion.
Yeah. And Brett, I want to hear your story a little bit here in a minute, but just in following up on that, Jesse. So you guys are, from what you've said, you're the only full service, all inclusive dog dog care offering in the franchise space. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's others, obviously, that offer the individual services, and there's a couple others that touch almost all of the services. But, you know, between the doggy daycare, the overnight boarding, the obedience training, the grooming, the retail store, which is a differentiator. None of our franchise peers have much of a retail offering. We have a full a retail assortment of food, toys, treats, accessories. And then we also offer the in-home services. So we can come to your house, walk your dog, stay overnight, pet transportation, you know, pick up, drop off from the facility, and a variety of other out-of-store types of service offerings that we like to provide. So really, you know, we are the only ones who provide that level of kind of all-encompassing, all-inclusive dog care. And not only does it make a lot of sense for the consumer, it makes a whole lot of sense for the franchisee, as it really stabilizes what can be somewhat of a seasonal industry, and just makes for a much, much stronger revenue stream and business model as a whole.
So how big are these locations?
So we have a bit of a variety. You know, we typically target something in the 8,000 to 10,000 square feet range. The majority of our locations fall within that range. We do have a few that are smaller and a few that are larger. And it's one of the unique things about us. We're not cookie cutter, so we can truly make any space work. And we really try to capitalize on the existing conditions of the building that we go into. So when we, you know, go out into your market and start looking for real estate, we're going to cast a pretty wide net and say, hey, let's look at every property that's available between 6,000 and 14,000 square feet, and then really start to narrow in on, you know, where the best options lie.
Well, and if you can, Jesse, I mean, what percentage is the training and dog care aspect of it? Because obviously, you know, Brett, you're on here as well, and you head up that area. So I got to think that a large percentage of this is obviously caring for the dog in some capacity and then going through various training protocols.
You're 100% correct. I'll give you your percentages, and then I'll let Brett expand upon, you know, his role and how it really touches on everything that we do. But, you know, roughly speaking, when you look at our business model, we're roughly about 40% from the overnight boarding, about 30% from the dog daycare, about 20% from the grooming, about 10% from the retail. If you were to pull a point or a point and a half out of each of those categories, that's typically what, you know, is makes up the true obedience training and in-home services. But that's also, you know, those are services that we typically develop as the store grows, and it allows you to kind of expand beyond your brick and mortar limitations. You're full for boarding, you're full for daycare, you're booked up 3 weeks for grooming. You can really leverage, you know, additional trainers, additional in-home service providers, and continue to grow the revenues. But Brett has, you know, obviously, as he will tell you, an extensive training background, but his dog knowledge and his ability to help us revamp and refine the dog care is really what's taken us to the next level.
So Brett, talk about your role. Obviously, you've got a background here. You've got certifications, including a certified professional dog trainer, a fear-free animal trainer, which I know you'll want to talk a little bit about, and aggression in dogs master course graduates. You've got a great background, naturally, and obviously to be the director of dog care and training. But talk a little bit about that and how you got interested in all this.
Thanks, Josh. So, you know, thanks for replaying my bio. That seems like it was all a very long time ago, but I'm living through it now. Let's see, back in 2004, I can credit my mom actually for giving me a kick in the rear end and finding something once I decided college wasn't going to be the route I wanted to take. And at the time, there were, I think, two accredited schools in the country that you could learn to be a dog trainer. And at the time, you know, it was, I grew up with dogs just like Jesse. And, I was always kind of fascinated by the behavioral aspect. After one summer shadowing my family vet, practice, I realized quickly that veterinary medicine was not the path I wanted to take. So, once I checked that off the list, I took a deeper dive into the behavior side. So fast forward, finished up my training program, which, like any other schooling, you're getting a whole lot of knowledge and you're assessed at your understanding of that, the content that they teach you, but, you know, then you got to get out and do it. So I was fortunate that 2 weeks after graduation, I was working at a family-owned operation here in the Pittsburgh area. And I kind of worked my way up through the ranks there. I was hired as an apprentice trainer. And when I left there 10 years later, I was the GM of the company, and I was overseeing a very large training department as well. So after that, met Jesse. We kind of on a whim, he agreed to have lunch with me, and I kind of pitched him an idea. I thought, you know, I noticed that the one area that your business seems to be lacking is in, any legitimate training offering. So 2 weeks later, we were starting construction on a little pilot training offering. It was kind of a separate LLC under the Dogstop name that we were going to provide. We had a brick and mortar training facility where we were going to do one-on-one private training with pet owners. We could do a board and train or a play and train service for dogs that were staying at the facility. And we also hosted group classes. So fast forward a few more years, that business was successful and is actually still operational here in the Strip District of Pittsburgh. But I kind of, my role evolved as the franchise began to grow and we were getting more and more people with lots of business acumen and experience, however, had no experience in the world of dogs and caring for them. It was evident that we needed to have a more substantial team of experts that could write the curriculum, write the training manuals, create tests or ways that we could evaluate comprehension for people that were coming through our training program. So my role now, while I'm no longer dog training per se on a day-to-day basis, I'm leveraging my nearly 20 years of experience in working with dogs and their owners. And now I'm applying it to working with fresh faced staff that come here for our, preparation to open their own store.
So how many times in the last 15 years have you been bitten?
I can say proudly that I have had one dog bite that required medical attention in my entire career.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I value my skin and I don't take unnecessary risks. That being said, it is a risky line of work, or can be, especially when you choose to work with dogs that have a bite history as I do. But I have a deep rooted respect for dogs and what they're capable of. And I think that's absent in a lot of quote unquote professionals. There's kind of a mentality of, you know, I am man and I conquer all. And I think that gets a lot of people in trouble. So, I've been fortunate that I can take credit for the skill side of things. I'm sure I've also been exceptionally lucky. But one bite.
Well, for this next question, Brett, I want you to give it a shot here first from the perspective of the training. And then, Jesse, you talk about it from a business perspective. But the question is this, is you're a franchise and, obviously you're going out there and Jesse's heading it up and others are heading it up to go find other franchisees, prospective franchisees and people who are not only interested but would be good fits within this model. Talk about that process, because like you just alluded to, Brett, I mean, obviously when somebody comes in, the chances of them having experience or being trained with pets prior to coming in is probably slim. Maybe there's a few, but certainly as you grow this thing bigger, it's you're going to have less and less of those folks. So what do you do from a training and dog care perspective to help on that front and analyze what makes a good franchisee? And then Jesse, after Brett answers, talk about sort of the business side of that, of how you approach finding franchisees with sort of that being the underpinning.
Okay. So I'll take the lead on this one. So first of all, I think that it's important to point out, the way the order of things happens when a prospective franchisee makes it to the point where they want to visit Pittsburgh and meet our team. We have some background on them and we have at least a basic understanding of do they have any dog care knowledge? If so, what kind? I think it's kind of been a mixed bag historically. When it comes to the actual employees that, that comprise the staff, we've discovered that it's often better if a person has the right attitude and we can teach them the skills. The challenges of somebody coming to us, say, from another business, maybe from a competitor, or they've worked in some other capacity in this industry, it can be either be really useful or it can be an impediment because they may have been used to doing things a way that we don't do them. So it's going to be hard to change the human behavior and break habits if they don't align with our values and how we prescribe to do things. So, I mean, I'll just to summarize that, I think when we look for the right stuff, quote unquote, we're talking about somebody who is open-minded and has a great attitude and is eager to learn, but isn't locked in on a particular way of doing things. Because when you work with animals, one thing's always going to be true. You have to be ready to skip to plan B. And if plan B doesn't work, you have to have items C through Z. So just because no two dogs are exactly alike. And, you know, while we have these great guidelines and best practices in place, you know, dogs don't always do what you expect them to do.
Well, and I'm sure too, Brad, just to follow up real quick on that, I'm sure there's a different kind of training that probably goes into the franchise owner versus an even more detailed training for their staff, right? Because I kind of imagine the franchise owner's, in there, but you're probably spending a lot of time with these franchisees with the staff that they're hiring.
Correct. So, for example, we just finished, we do a six to seven day training week in Pittsburgh. Which is usually about 8 weeks out, 4 to 8 weeks out from opening. And the franchise owner, and they have hired a manager, an assistant manager, and a dog care manager, which is basically back of house manager. And that's the team that comes to Pittsburgh. We kind of do a little team building exercises and we assess what we're starting with. Now, they've already completed a few of our online programs so that we know up to this point that they all have the same foundation that we can build off of. So that's a prerequisite before they come to Pittsburgh for training. They've already taken some of our quizzes, gone through our manuals, and have taken the Fear-Free Pet Professional course. So, but yes, most definitely, we will custom tailor the curriculum based on the staff that we have. Some owners are more hands-on and they want to sit through all of my presentations. Others are like, oh, that's why I brought a staff with me here. I'm gonna go talk to Jesse about the business stuff and I'll let my management team sit in on the rest of it. So it varies from location to location.
Jesse, so in following that, so what's the most important thing to you then on when you're looking for somebody to come in and be a prospective franchisee?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And obviously, as we've been franchising now for, the past 8 years, our definition of the ideal franchisee has evolved, and I'm sure it will continue to evolve. But, we've made a pretty intentional pivot away from owner operators and more into semi-absentee owners. And much like Brett described, this is, you're the owner. And of course, we want you to be able to, understand and effectively manage the managers. But you're going to hire a general manager, assistant manager, back of house, dog care manager, and all of those important roles who will, kind of run the day-to-day operations and allow you to work on the business as opposed to be working in the business. We did this for a couple of different reasons. A, we noticed a significant difference in the performance of, we had a couple operators, semi-absentee, and we had a couple who were owner operators, and the semi-absentee owners were doing much, much better. And then as we kind of, thought about it and investigated what we had learned in our experiences, it's very common in this industry, and it was kind of like a light bulb went off for myself. And I think Brett agreed and a lot of our, senior staff who had dealt with folks, between trainers and groomers and, people who are very, very talented at a skill. And I'm sure this, is seen across lots of different industries. But, the moment you add business ownership into whatever it is that you're really good at and you love doing, you're kind of, you know, no longer able to just focus on whatever that skill is that you're so talented at. Now you have to worry about, you know, your rent and your insurance and your employees and, you know, taxes and all of these other business owner responsibilities that can really be draining and debilitating for that, you know, talented individual. And I think we saw that happening with owner operators in the early days. We had some people who came in and, you know, wanted to buy themselves a job so they could play with dogs all day long. And it was a challenge to really help them develop the business and recognize its full potential. In some cases, you know, they were content with the early stages of what they'd built and didn't want it to grow it. And other people, you know, they kind of lost their passion for the dogs because now they were so focused on all these other business elements. So we have found that, you know, intentionally transitioning, you know, still has to obviously be a dog lover. That's very important. You know, I always say, you know, people who come in and are only care about the numbers and think they can run this by a P&L and don't even care about dogs, they're not going to be successful, and we don't have a place for them here at the Dog Stop. But on the other side of that spectrum, you know, the really, really overly passionate people about, you know, just who just want to be in there with the dogs all day, every day, probably not the right fit there either, because at the end of the day, this is a business, and we have found that it is most successful when you fall into the semi-absentee manager role. And that's really the kind of sweet spot. Luckily, that is, you know, I'd say a very large, you know, part of the population here, you know, and when you get rid of all the people who don't like dogs and kind of explain to people why we do what we do and how they will be able to build upon their passion and create this awesome revenue stream while continuing with their day job or overseeing their other investments or whatever it may be, it kind of all comes into focus. And again, we have learned that that is by far the most successful mode of operation.
Brett, talk a little bit about the Fear-Free organization. I know that's something that y'all are real proud of, and it's apparently an organization whose mission it is to prevent and alleviate fear, anxiety, and stress in pets by educating and inspiring those who care for them. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, we are very proud of this partnership. We've pioneered in this industry. I guess I'll give you the abbreviated version. So Fear-Free was founded in 2016. It was actually got its start in veterinary medicine. I noticed right away, you know, I even being in this industry, I heard of this thing called Fear-Free, and I didn't need to know what it was to know it sounded nice. It sounds a lot better than the alternative. So they picked a perfectly obvious name for their organization and what it is that they do. But basically, they provide online education to veterinary professionals, pet professionals, you know, shelter staff, pet owners. So they have all of these different learning tracks, some that are geared towards businesses and some that are public facing, and you know, they've got an excellent website. There's webinars, they have handouts, they have printouts, you know, great materials for schools and for, you know, that are geared more towards kids. So, but I mean, they just have an absolutely phenomenal group that they've kind of compiled this all-star team over the years. And they've got veterinary behaviorists, they've got, pain experts and veterinary internists, and basically they've just compiled this amazing team of folks that create content and support for, like I said, public and business owners. So I actually learned about Fear-Free initially because they had a trainer's program. So it's a additional credential that you're not eligible to take their course unless you already have an existing professional certification. So I took their course a few years ago, and it was just, I think, about a year and a half ago that they launched their first ever program for pet professionals. So that's daycare and boarding staff. I strongly urged everybody on our team here in the home office to take the course, and it didn't take long for us to all go, wow, this is amazing. And I think the consensus was, we've basically met our match in terms of another group that is like-minded and has the same values and the same stance on taking care of pets. So we thought, let's see if we can join forces. And we did just that early this year. And it's been excellent. So, I mean, just the Dog Stop obviously wants to retain our identity doing things the way we do in our own unique way. But the addition of the fear-free education has been just invaluable. We've gotten great feedback from franchisees too, because that's a huge step in the right direction and a big advantage that they have, you know, to have taken that excellent course before they even get to our materials.
Jesse, you've been a part of franchising now for the last 8 years. Obviously, you know, every franchise system has challenges as they're trying to grow. If you'd be willing, talk a little bit about what's been the biggest challenge for you guys over the last 8 years and how you've overcome it.
Sure. You know, we were very, very fortunate in the early days to have some incredible mentors who had a lot of franchise experience and really helped us, I'd say, navigate and avoid a lot of the kind of, you know, typical classic mistakes I think a lot of franchisors make. One of those being, you know, growing too quickly. We had a gentleman who impressed upon us the importance of slow and controlled growth and only, you know, allowed us to sell 2 the first year and 3 the second year. And our third year, we actually didn't even put it on FDD so we could focus on those first 5 and figure out what we knew and what we didn't know and what we needed to improve. And we've done that twice now where we've just paused and halted sales operations to focus on, you know, those who we had brought in. And I think that's really been, you know, in retrospect, some of the best decisions that we ever made, you know, just to allow us to make sure that we had the right foundation and had all the pieces and building blocks in place to take that next step forward. But of course, there's been plenty of, you know, learning lessons and mistakes and challenges along the way. You know, I think finding the right people, as we just discussed earlier, and that, you know, obvious correction that we've made moving away from, you know, owner operators and towards semi-absentee, that was a bit of a challenge and a learning curve, and we've corrected that and have seen incredible results. You know, one of the challenges that we run into, even after a franchisee comes on board, but before they get open, this whole site selection process. And, you know, we have a formula that is somewhat unique and different from that of our competitors. And it sometimes takes our franchisees a little while to understand that. And, you know, they just, you know, it's natural. It's human nature that, you know, when you go back home after you're all excited about coming to Pittsburgh and seeing the stores and start looking for your own location, everybody kind of gravitates towards the, you know, the flashy corner of Main on Main, lots of eyeballs, beautiful new building, whatever it may be. And, you know, the economics of those buildings 9 times out of 10 just don't work for our business model. And we're a very destination oriented business. So we can be a little bit more hidden off the beaten path, you know, second, third generation spaces that might not be as visually, you know, appealing or intriguing. But those end up being, you know, the best locations for us. In the long run, you know, at the end of the day, less rent over the entire term and becomes a much more profitable business for us. So that's one of the challenges that we run into. We have an excellent team, though, of real estate professionals who are here, you know, to help provide that guidance and find and negotiate the right deal terms, you know, across the country. And, you know, that's one of those things that we have learned, that just all aspects of the franchise system, it's way more than just, hey, here's our business model and this is how you run the business. We help with the real estate, we help with the design and construction, we help with the marketing, and then of course, you know, the business operations and financial administrations and everything else that's part of being a successful business owner. So, you know, you learn as you go, and we have found that, you know, the best way to help franchisees succeed is have, you know, a first-class support team, both internal and external partners, who are always available to provide that guidance and support and show the franchisees the fastest path to success.
So we've got one remaining question here, but before I go to it, I just want to say I'm really happy to hear that you guys subscribe to that philosophy of growing slow and smart. I mean, so often in franchising, I think franchisors, certainly younger emerging franchisors, try to grow too fast, and it can cause havoc on a system. And it's more rare than you would think to get the franchisor that says, you know, we were intentionally growing slow, and then at one point you stopped franchising because you just wanted to focus on the few that you had, which is the right way to do it. It's the right way to do it. And then you gain interest because you're doing it the right way. You've got the people in place, you've got the ops team in place, and you've got and you grow that way. So I just wanted to add that in there because I think it's important for people to hear that, you know, when you're it's really a long play when you're franchising. I mean, people have this idea that you franchise your business and in 3 years you've got 50 locations. I mean, sometimes that does happen, but that's not the norm. And that's really not what you should expect as you're franchising.
No, and if you do have 50 locations in 3 years, hopefully all 50 of those locations are still open in 4 years and 5 years. And that's, you know, as you know, does it also isn't always the case in franchising.
Well, the final question for each of you, I mean, I'm curious what each of you, know, Brett, you and Jesse think about, you know, what's the most exciting thing you think coming down the pipes in the pet industry, in the pet franchise industry that you guys are really excited about over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years?
Sure. I'll start and then we'll let Brett kind of drive it home with the dog side of things. But from just a business and business administration and what we have in the works, you know, we are focusing a lot of energy and effort on, you know, integrating technology as much as we can in what for a long time has been an incredibly untechnologically advanced industry, being pet care. You know, so we are trying to get everyone caught up in the dog care space and make sure that, you know, we improve the customer experience, you know, from mobile apps and online booking and improve upon the transparency that's so important to us. So you can always see your dog through webcams, whether he's playing in daycare or sleeping at night. And as we provide additional services and your dog gets fed and medications and, you know, you're getting alerts on your app to tune into different cameras to see all these things happening. So we're really, you know, focused on improving the technological offering so that we can improve the customer experience. And, you know, Brett is, as always, is helping us move the needle and make sure that we are always at the forefront from a dog care perspective. And, you know, Brett has helped us kind of institute a variety of different programs that really allow us to have something to offer all dogs out there, not just the friendly, easy to care for ones. And Brett, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. And I'll just pick that up right there, because that's one of the things I happen to be most excited about. I think, you know, traditionally businesses in this industry, you know, but doggy daycares, of course, most people think of it as a place where dogs go to play. And so that would most likely exclude any dog who doesn't enjoy that sort of thing. And I think with our education and with the superior information that we have now about, you know, the unique needs of each individual dog. And that's really getting a lot more airtime and people are starting to pay more attention to that. I mean, overall, I think the ownership of dog culture has changed a lot. And the average pet parent is much more savvy than they were 10 or 20 years ago. And that has its challenges. But overall, I think it's been a nice shift because their expectations have been set if they've done their homework. I mean, there's always going to be outliers, but I think it's exciting that we get to be creative and we get to start fashioning these different services and different programs around all dogs instead of just the ones that fit into this pretty little box, right? So if a dog has social challenges or if a dog has maybe a health concern or anything else that might mean that they can't go into quote unquote general population, then we still have a service provided for them. We've, you know, the team here has been really creative in coming up with what we call Dog Stop Delights. And there's a, you know, a whole menu and it's literally a menu of services that when owners are dropping off, they can check the boxes of which services they want. And it's completely customizable. They're all a la carte. You can get enrichment games for a dog who maybe is senior and doesn't have the desire or the energy to play for 8 hours. They can learn how to detect certain odors. They can have an interactive food dispensing toy. They can be hand walked. They can be cuddled. They can learn how to walk on a treadmill. So there's just, we have these excellent offerings that to Jesse's point enables us to care for every dog individually, no matter what their needs are.
Well, if you'd like to learn more about the Dog Stop, you can go to thedogstop.com. That's the Dog Stop franchiseyouforia.com. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Jesse, for sharing about the business, the franchise, and what you guys are looking for. Really a fascinating story, and I'm thrilled for your guys' success and look forward to hear how you guys continue to grow into the future. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Josh. This was awesome. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having us, Josh.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed it, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. It really helps to get this show out to more and more people. Also, if you have any questions, have ideas for guests or topics, please email me, josh@indyfranchiselaw.com. That's josh@indyfranchiselaw.com. And finally, please note that this podcast is for entertainment and educational purposes and is not in any way, shape, or form meant to be any kind of legal advice. If you're seeking legal advice, please contact a lawyer. Have a great one. Happy franchising.